it going, guys? Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Vietes Rundown. I am your host, Manny Vietes. So I've talked about Laker basketball, Clippers basketball, and Cavs basketball. But now I want to talk about a long-awaited topic. It is the DeMarcus Cousins trade to the New Orleans Pelicans. So this podcast is long-awaited. It's with my guy, Charles LaRocca from FanSided. It's Pelicans Debrief. And we're finally now getting down to business and talking about the first couple of games and everything that's happened within the trade. So welcome, my guy, Charles LaRocca. How you doing, buddy?
Good. I'm glad to be on. And when we first talked about doing this podcast, it was supposed to be just about All-Star Weekend in New Orleans and how it was going to go on. And then, of course, DeMarcus Cousins gets traded to the Pelicans from the Kings. And it just seemed like even more of a reason for us to get down, sit down, and talk about it. We sit down, let it marinate. We had some games under the belt, so we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a moment that shocked me, and it was a moment that probably shocked you as well, right?
Oh, yeah. For this season, I was kind of in a state where I didn't know where the Pelicans could go towards the future. Like, they were kind of stuck in the middling territory where they were going to be confined to mediocrity for a while, and then all of a sudden, DeMarcus Cousins comes to the Pelicans, and he gets to pair with Anthony Davis. And on paper, you think, wow, Anthony Davis finally gets some help. And I was ecstatic. I thought, you know, there's actually a real route to being a contender. And for a while, I didn't see that was possible. And now I can see an actual path to being relevant in the NBA.
Yeah. I mean, of course, you got two big man all-stars on the same team, probably the best two big men in the NBA. And instantly, I thought as well, I was like, okay, they're going to take the eighth spot in the Western Conference now. But after a couple games, we've got to see them kind of play with each other and kind of fill each other out. And it seems like there is potential there. It seems like they can actually play with each other. But there's definitely some things that are not having to do with DeMarcus and Anthony Davis that need to be addressed on that team. Yeah. Because right now, it seems like they're the only two guys that can actually make a push for them to go to the playoffs. They don't have no wings. They have a point guard in Jrue Holiday, but we'll talk about that in a second. But they just need some help. There's only been one combination of big men that I feel like has been successful in the NBA, and that was Tim Duncan and David Robinson. As soon as this trade went down, that's what a lot of people had compared it to. They were thinking, okay, we got these two, you know, these two greats, which Anthony Davis and DeMarcus are going to go down as two of the best to ever play the game. But then, you know, you try to compare it to that, to David Robinson and Tim Duncan, but they had the coaching. You know, they had Popovich. They were, you know, they coexisted, and they did it well. But what I'm seeing early right now is it's kind of a black hole. It's the same thing that happened with DeMarcus on the Kings. You throw it into the low post. He likes that left side. It's either a, you know, a hard dribble to the basket, one move layup, or it's a turnover, or he just takes a fadeaway shot off one foot off the baseline. And I think that DeMarcus needs to start working well around the elbow, well with Anthony Davis. If they were to do like a little pick and roll game, just them two, both of them can handle the ball. But it's getting obvious day and day. It's getting more obvious game by game that they need some more help. It's not it can't be just them.
And of course, I agree that they need help. And early, like, you're starting to see, if you watch the Spurs game, they're starting to run more plays of that with DeMarcus handling the ball, and the Anthony Davis would run a curl on the inside, and Davis would throw it to him, and then Davis kick out to the corner. So you're starting to see a little more wrinkles coming into the offense, which is a good sign. But late into the game, obviously went back to being a stagnant offense, just one pick and roll, one pass shot. So, it was always going to take time for these guys to gel midseason when you add such like a massive piece. Because I think both Davis and Cousins were like top five in usage in the NBA. Mm-hmm. So that's automatically going to be some growing pains when it comes to reducing your role or how you're going to play off each other. And like you said, I think the most important thing is getting guys around them. Because those guys are still putting up numbers. They're going to be great big men regardless. But when you have a guy like Solomon Hill who's got a big contract in the offseason, he's going to be around. He's got a 4 year. You're not going to be able to trade or move that deal. So he has to contribute more than just defense. He has to be able to knock down a few shots and take the pressure off of DeMarcus when they do throw it to the left block. Now when they come up, rotate over to help, mm-hmm. he has an outlet he can swing to, or you got a guy cutting. And so it's going to start with getting shooting around them, proper spacing. If you have two big men, although, you know, Davis and Cousins have a, can shoot from the outside, you typically want those guys in towards the paint, crashing the glass, or, you know, facilitating the offense around them so where they can find other guys and make them better. But right now, they just don't have the personnel. And you're starting to see early on, like, why the New Orleans had to make this trade. Or when you made the trade, you kind of realized Galloway and Buddy Hield were the top. They made the 1 and 2 most threes for the Pelicans. They were the best shooters on the Pelicans. They're gone. So now who leads the Pelicans in three-pointers? Jrue Holiday, who missed 20 games into the season. And you don't really categorize him as a shooter anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not much there shooting-wise. And I think it's going to be rough this year. And when you see Davis and Cousins, you thought an 8 seed right away. But then now that you're seeing it actually play out, you realize like this roster is flawed, like, severely, and it's gonna take some time for them to get it together. But they're starting to, as they get more practices, I think Davis and Cousins would naturally work themselves out because they're great players. But you're not gonna be able to solve the issue of Solomon Hill, Dante Cunningham, Tim Frazier, Archwan Moore.
Yeah, you're not gonna be able to solve that. Yeah, you're not gonna be able to solve that in just a 20 game span at the end of the season. And, yeah, there's obviously nothing more you can do now. You're dealt with what you're dealt. And, you know, they've kind of got to figure themselves out. That's another big thing, that DeMarcus has to win. Like, he wants to win. He was in Sacramento for 6 years on losing teams. Highest amount of games he won was 33 games. So what are the Pelicans sitting at right now? They're at 24 wins, right?
24 wins.
24 wins. So they need 9 more wins to get to where DeMarcus, like, his winning cap has been. Do you actually think they'll get over 33 wins this season?
With 20 games left, I say they do get over it, but I don't think that is enough at all for the A seed.
No,
I think. And for me and you, you know, we talk, AC does just a sweep. It doesn't really matter. But for DeMarcus Cousins, the minute he got traded, he even said, yeah, I thought I was going to go to the AC with Sacramento. So the AC to him means a lot. He wants to get into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And when he got with Davis, that was like a big incentive. Like, New Orleans can't lose. They can't afford to keep tanking. They can't afford to keep losing if they want to keep DeMarcus Cousins happy, which they do if they want to re-sign him in 2018. You have to show him that you can build a winning culture here, something that he's not accustomed to. That, hey, New Orleans can be different than it was in Sacramento, and for this season, that's not gonna really happen. And if they get over the win cap, they'd be right around that, like, 34-35 win range, which is it's not gonna make anyone happy. It's not gonna please anyone.
No, yeah, it's not gonna make Anthony Davis happy, obviously. But there's nothing he was gonna do regardless if DeMarcus Cousins didn't come. So he's happy about DeMarcus coming. But DeMarcus, they won 4 out of the last 5 heading into All Star break, and they won 5 out of 5. They went 5-2 going into All Star break. So he had some momentum. There was some momentum building with the Kings, and he felt that he was in a position where he wasn't going to go anywhere. I interviewed him on the first day of All-Star Weekend on the media day, and those were some of the first questions that came up. They were like, oh, are you excited to be in Sacramento? You know, are you excited to actually be in the playoff contention right now? And he was happy. And then this trade hits on Sunday night, and it's kind of just a whole 360. Yeah. And they kind of went behind his back and just did this because they wanted to do like a full total rebuild, and I can understand that, but like when it comes to DeMarcus Cousins' psyche, he's obviously a different type of player. You see how he's on the court, but he wanted to make the playoffs, and if you want to re-sign him next in the next year after the 2018 season, you're gonna have to make the playoffs at least next year, and a big part to go into that is gonna be the point guard. And right now you guys have Jrue Holiday. He becomes a unrestricted free agent after this season. And you guys kind of have no more options. You guys kind of have to re-sign him. You guys are going to have to pay him that max money. And I've kind of done it on my own. I've compared him to, you know, well, not compared him. I've just matched him up with other point guards in the league. I would, you know, I matched him up to, like, say, like, the Knicks' Derrick Rose. I'm like, so is Jrue Holiday better than Derrick Rose? And then right now I'd be like, yeah, he is, you know. Then you match him up to, you know, like a Goran Dragic from Miami, and you'll be like, no, he's not. You know, and then you match him up to, like, Steph Curry, and you're like, no, he's not. Then you match him up to D'Angelo Russell, and you'd be like, yeah, maybe I'll take D'Angelo Russell, maybe I'll take him. But the whole point I'm trying to make in this is that his value is not very high, but his value is not very low either. He's in that tier two, almost bottom tier one. I think he's around like the 16th, 17th best point guard in the league. And playing with two guys like Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins, 17 and 16 is not going to cut it. But that's kind of the cards that the Pelicans are going to be dealt.
And you're seeing it already. The success of this team DeMarcus and Anthony Davis, those guys are great. But it's going to depend on that third guy. And right now it was Jrue Holiday. In the first two games they had, the first three games, he was struggling mightily. He was turning the ball over. He was just playing really bad. Which is strange because before the All-Star break, Holiday was actually playing like some of the best basketball he's played since he was in New Orleans. And it looked like he was about to turn that corner and be like the point guard he was that they thought they were getting, that he was in Philly. Mm-hmm. It looked like he was finally coming back into that guy after all the injuries. And now he's getting these two big pieces and he's not really producing. He's kind of regressing almost. And it's bad for him heading into free agency. But the New Orleans is still going to have to give them the max money if they should plan on keeping them.
Yeah, yeah, and like that's what I'm saying too. If you know he sits right at that middle level right now, but yeah. There's not too many teams out there that are gonna. I feel like there's gonna be teams that go after him in free agency, but he's gonna obviously make the most money there in New Orleans. I feel like you know because in what point guard if he ends up figuring out what point guard's not gonna want to play with those two big men, you know, because they can shoot too. And it's going to obviously just increase his overall assist number. But if you have DeMarcus Cousins or Anthony Davis just coming off a pick and roll with you, they can either pick and pop, shoot the three, shoot the mid-range, just roll to the basket. You can throw a lob up to either of them. So as a point guard, I say that New Orleans is his best option. But he just needs to figure it out. I feel like these next 20 games are going to be huge for him to figure that out. Because if something doesn't happen, something doesn't click within these next 20 games – then that's gonna really play into where he goes in the offseason. Because if he doesn't feel like that he can play with these two guys, then you know what? Then New Orleans is gonna have to make a decision come draft day. Yeah. So it's just gonna be interesting to see within these next 20 games what he actually does with these two players.
Yeah, the Knicks reported interest in him, and Philly reported interest in him in the offseason. They could be just trying to run up his number for New Orleans, or it could just be noise, but no one knows yet. But when it comes down to it, Holiday, the issue too, when you have two bigs like that, he's not really a natural point. He's more of a combo guard. You can play off ball. You can play on. He's a good defender. He has like skills, but when it comes, he's not really a natural passer, natural playmaker. He's more of a role of, you know, scoring for himself. He can pass. Mm-hmm. The trouble when we first got DeMarcus, he was almost trying to force passes. He was trying to be that natural point guard, and it wasn't working out. And he was cutting a lot of turnovers. He was being really indecisive on offense. And then tonight against San Antonio, because the coach Gentry told him, hey, be more aggressive. And you saw that tonight. He put up like 27 shots, and he wasn't efficient, though. He was being almost too aggressive. So he has to try to find that middle ground of when he's going to be aggressive, when to make plays. And that's going to be tough for him. 20 games left, big piece in DeMarcus. And then also you have to take into account, like, you have to try to make DeMarcus want to play with you. Because John Wall, there was an interview where he said, like, that's going to be the big thing for his point guard, getting that trust. And that's going to be something he has to do. He has to figure out how to play with DeMarcus. And he had a good rapport with Anthony Davis. He's built that up. And you can see when DeMarcus is on the bench, the pick and roll to Anthony Davis is still money. The Drew can come under, pop it. Throw the lob, throw a pocket pass. But when DeMarcus is in the game, you can kind of sense DeMarcus gets frozen out of the offense late in the games. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of Davis and Holiday action with DeMarcus just floating around. So
no, yeah, it's like, I mean, that's expected though. I mean, you've been together for a week. You don't know any late game situations between players on your new team. They've had minimal practice. So I mean, you saw tonight they were leading San Antonio. I think it was five in overtime. At one point, and then I mean they were leading them with about like 2 minutes left in the game, and then
Holiday gets stripped.
And then Drew, and then Drew Holiday just leaves the ball out for Kawhi Leonard to just snatch from him. Then, you know, makes that crazy dunk. And then, you know, then there was like
two bad jumpers in a row. Yep. It was a horrible execution down the stretch. And then, like you said, it's something that's expected because, hey, this team is still new to playing with each other. But you just got to expect smarter from a veteran, because Drew Holiday is a veteran now. He's a veteran point guard. He's been on the team for a while. You would have to expect smarter shot selection down the stretch and better playmaking.
Oh yeah. But all right, so I'm just gonna break it down to you what happened at the end of the game. There was so the Kings, I'm still thinking of Marcus on the Kings, but it was a tie game, and I think it was 89-89. The Pelicans had the ball for the last shot. I forgot who inbounded it, but you know, you had Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, right? I personally would want Anthony Davis to take the last shot. You know, as Anthony Davis, as that all-star, as you know, as one of the best players in the NBA, you got to grab the ball. You have to take control, and you have to be that guy. And it seems like on that play, DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis got very confused. They didn't know where they and there was a timeout too, right? Just right before that, they didn't know. I saw DeMarcus turn around. He didn't know if he should screen and roll to the basket or pop back out to take that three. Because when he was with Sacramento, he was the one that always took that last shot, and he obviously missed most of them. And he didn't know how to actually, you know, play in those late game situations. And so right now I saw he was flustered. He didn't know whether he was going to take the shot, Anthony Davis was going to take the shot, or Drew Holiday was going to take the shot. And him and Anthony Davis kind of got stuck at the top of the key. And it turns out Drew Holiday ended up getting the ball. Kawhi Leonard ended up switching on Anthony Davis, and Drew Holiday threw up a fadeaway shot from the baseline. And then, yeah, it was kind of just like wow. Like, you got these two all-stars on your team, and not one of them can take the shot for you. I mean, I get it. Like, they have to get open, but they have to get open. You're trying to win a game against one of the NBA's best teams. You got to put the ball in your best player's hands. And then that wasn't the first shot that Drew Holiday took at the end of the game. Once I got into overtime, I think it was a 2-point game.
3-point game.
It was
by three.
Yeah, it was a 3-point game. And then Drew Holiday, you know, he doesn't like to go right, right?
No, he has to go left. Yeah, he's a righty though.
Yeah,
he likes to go left.
Yeah. So they forced him to go right. He actually did a Euro step, a Euro floater, and it obviously missed. But in that game, in that late game situation, you know, feed the ball into Anthony Davis into the post, seal out Pau Gasol or seal out Kawhi Leonard, and let your best guys go at it one on one. Don't let Drew Holiday just go run up into the basket. Just run up into the lane and just throw up some crazy shot at the basket.
Down three.
I actually want the Pelicans to win more, because obviously that will, you know, increase the stock of, you know, the Kings pick, and that lessens the chances of the Pelicans pick becoming the top three protected. But, you know, I just hate to see these late game situations play out. You know, I just wish that there was some direction. Even though it's so soon, I just wish there was some direction heading into the end of the season.
You know, and this is why the Pelicans are a bad team. This is why they're inconsistent. And honestly, they've been in a lot of close games, and this has been a constant all season. The offense becomes stagnant. They take bad shots, mid-range jumpers. There's isolations, lack of ball movement. And I am less concerned with Davis or Cousins not taking the shot than they're not even being involved in the action. They're not. It's just a simple isolation. You can't run a high pick and roll with them, or a 4-5 pick and roll. You get your best players the ball. Get creative. Instead, you just run an isolation with Holiday for a floater. It's just mind-boggling how you could just be that lack of be so uncreative when it comes to creating offense with two of the best big men in the game, arguably the best. And you could place the blame back on Coach Alvin Gentry, or if he's the right coach to build this team going forward. But you're kind of stuck with him, I think, if you want to keep DeMarcus happy, because DeMarcus Cousins has been through with 5 or 6 coaches in Sacramento,
mm-hmm.
and you want to show we are not a dysfunctional organization. We are on the right track. We're stable. You can sign here long term and not have to worry about anything. Stability. But if you fire Gentry, and then you have one season for a new coach, a whole new regime to try to gain DeMarcus Cousins in. If it doesn't go right, then you're going to be
Yeah,
you're going to lose. You're not going to make – he's not going to look any different than it was in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, no, and that's and that's actually a good point you make because, you know, like Cousins has been through the carousel of coaches and none of it has played out to the way that the Kings have wanted to. And then if history like repeats itself, then you're going to see exactly the same thing happen in New Orleans. But you know what? I feel like Alvin Gentry's going to stay there. They're going to actually try to wait it out a year and see exactly what happens. If they could pick up someone in the offseason. They know it was a late season trade. There's nothing that they could do about it, really, you know, especially with the roster that they have. So, you know, we could sit here and talk about it and, you know, analyze, you know, what they're doing in late game situations. But we just expect more from two All-Stars late in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, but... You know, I just want to move away from that a little bit. We already talked about what happened tonight in the game, and you know our takes on the trade. But was this trade bad for the Kings? And I'm gonna answer that question, and I say no. I say no. It wasn't bad for the Kings. The Kings were in full rebuild mode. I feel like they started rebuild mode when the 2016 draft started. When they took George Papagiannis and then they traded Marco Bellinelli to the Charlotte Hornets for that 22nd pick and took Malachi Richardson from Syracuse, and then with the 28th pick they got Scalabissiere. So you had a guy in Malachi Richardson who went deep into the tournament for Syracuse, and he's a good 3-point shooter. He's a nice slasher. He can put the ball in the basket, and most importantly he can defend, and he's 6'5". So it's, you know, that wasn't that bad of a deal. I would rather have had him than Marco Bellinelli. And then you get Scalabissiere, who's kind of lost in translation at Kentucky, but was heavily recruited right out of high school. And on a lot of big boards, they had him going number one in the NBA draft when he was a senior in high school. And then he kind of just fell out completely out of the top 15, ended up slipping to the late first round and where the Kings picked him up. But the thing is, Vlade made those pickups from trading the 8th pick to the Suns for the 12th pick and the 28th pick. And so that's when Vlade started the rebuild. So I feel like personally that's when he knew that DeMarcus was going to get out of there, cuz he wanted to make a trade in the offseason, but he just couldn't. He couldn't get Vivek Ranadive to wrap his head around it and actually get rid of DeMarcus, cuz he didn't find no deal out there that was lucrative enough to give away one of the best big men in the game. But yeah, Vlade in the back of his mind, he knew that the rebuild process was starting a while ago, and so then he, you know, All-Star Weekend came up. He saw an opportunity where Buddy Hield was on the trading block and became available. And Vivek Ranadive loves Buddy Hield. He actually talked about Buddy Hield like every single game that the Kings and Pelicans have played thus far. He always talked to him on the sidelines saying, no, we're still going to get you. Yeah, no, we're still going to get you. So as soon as Vivek was on board, you know, Vlade had to pull the trigger, and then we got Buddy Hield, and now Buddy Hield's going to be joining Willie Cauley-Stein and Scalabissiere and Malachi Richardson and Papagiannis, and that's four first round players on one team from his last draft. People got to realize that. Like, I know Buddy's a little bit older, but these four players that the Kings got, there's so much more room to improve on this. There's you have four guys that were once the best at their current position at some point in their life. So, you know, that's something to look forward to for the Kings. And, you know, DeMarcus Cousins was a cancer for the team. You know, he was that black hole. You know what, if the Kings were going to go to the 8th spot, yeah, they're going to go to the 8th spot, but they're going to get swept by the Warriors. And if you're a potential All-Star, and if you're a, you know, any free agent, you're not going to go to Sacramento. You don't want to go to Sacramento and play for a franchise that, you know, has been in and out of coaches, and play for a player, play with a player that had, like that's a hothead like DeMarcus. But in all honesty, no one wants to go do that. So Vlade knew that, and Vivek kind of knew that it was the right time. So they had to make that trade. So. Yes, I do think it was a good trade, and at first I didn't think it was, but obviously, you know, when I, you know, took time to analyze it, figured it out, it was definitely what was in the Kings' best interest.
And I actually agree with you. I think the only thing I would say is the Kings could have been more transparent with how they went about it, because, you know, DeMarcus, it was obviously very frustrated. Like, he was told one thing: hey, we're not going to trade you. you're our guy, and then next thing you know, he's blindsided with the trade. You could be a bit more transparent, but business-wise, yes, and it makes sense. And it goes down to like the old debate of what's the best way to get to a championship. That should be the goal for every team, not make the eighth seed. And I think for both teams, this trade makes sense because New Orleans is a team that they have not built through the draft. They have shown no interest in it. They traded the Drake picks for Drew Holiday, for Omar Sheik. So that was bad. And they doubled down on that by giving them a big contract. But besides that, yeah, they have obviously shown no interest in building towards the draft. So with that being said, for a small market team, both of these teams are two small market teams that aren't necessarily rich in history or attractive to free agents. So you either get players through the draft or through trades. And New Orleans said, we have a chance to add like a top big man to pair with our superstar. I don't know any other way we're going to get one because we're not going to be bad enough to be in the draft. And with Anthony Davis's contract ticking, they don't have the timeline to wait for a guy to develop. So they were kind of forced, Boogie became available, we have to take it. Same way the Kings saw Buddy Hield is available, we have to take it. And it's one of those trades that does make sense for both sides because now the Kings can focus on rebuilding, be patient, build this young core that they have, which has talented players, and they're going to get a couple more talented players in the draft. And now you have something. Not only do you have good players, you have assets you can use. You have cost-controlled assets. You have cap room. And now you can just let these guys grow. In New Orleans, they had to go all in. We had a superstar that's available, or a star, whatever you want to consider. He's good, though. And we don't know if we're ever going to be able to get another player like this from anyone. Because New Orleans is pretty forward on assets. That's why I was surprised this trade went down. Because Langston Galloway, Buddy Hield, and Tyreke Evans, they weren't really hot commodities. The only reason Buddy Hield was is because Vivek loves him and sees good potential, which he is. Admittedly, he is a good player, and I think he will be a good player. I just think sometimes, you know, the expectations are going to be kind of unfairly slacked on him because he was the main piece of the Boogie trade. So will he be like a superstar as good as Boogie? Probably not, but he's a very good player. And now the Kings have a bunch of good players they can build around. Go for a star in the draft, and now maybe you have something there. Because with Boogie, where were they going to go?
Yeah. With Boogie, the only way to go was stay out of that 10th, 11th spot. Maybe make the 8th spot, but then what's that going to do? I've said that plenty of times. It's not going to do anything. And so you've got to see DeMarcus Cousins' reputation. You saw it from afar.
Yeah.
But I've seen it for years now. I've seen that he's, that hothead guy. You know, he had 17 technical fouls before the All-Star break, which is just insane. He had 17 all last season. And then we give him to you guys. And what did he do? And was it second game against the Thunder?
Third game.
Oh yeah, third game against the Thunder. He just a minute into the game, and he picks up a technical foul. And that's his 18th technical foul of the season. Yeah. And instantly issued that first game suspension for the following game against Detroit. And I'm here thinking from afar, I'm like, I'm so glad we don't got this guy right now. And a lot of fans in Sacramento were thinking the same thing. As soon as they saw that, I'm
going to fall out of that game as well. Just
throw yeah. And then at the end of the game, he fouled out, doing a drastic DeMarcus Cousins thing and fouling out. But that's besides the point. Do you think he's going to be that same type of hothead player in New Orleans? Because I personally think that he actually will get his act up together just a little bit. But if he sees that vulnerability, that little bit that he can just take over and that's his team just a little bit and no one has reins on him, then I feel like he has the ability to do whatever he wants in his head, which means, go off and do whatever he wants, which means pick up more fouls, pick up more technical fouls, and obviously not hold his composure. So, do you actually think that he's going to change his ways?
You've seen so far with the Pelicans, yeah. He's still very demonstrative and he's really angry after calls. He throws the ball down. But one thing that's interesting that I've noticed and that's been made public is that Anthony Davis is like calmed him down. Anthony Davis would go over to him, like he would like put at his head, like, come on, use your head. So that's something that I'm very happy Anthony Davis is taking forward, that leadership role, say, hey, this is our team, you know, like this is, you got to be smart, you're a big piece. And I think, and that's, and Anthony Davis is a guy DeMarcus Cousins trust, he likes, he said they have a brotherly like bond. So if Anthony Davis can, like having Anthony Davis, I think will actually help him rein him in. And he's still going to be that guy with the emotion and the fire, and you still see it on the court. But what I think with Anthony Davis out there, he has someone that he trusts that can bring him in and bring him back like, hey, man, we need you. You're our guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's – you know, he didn't have that other all-star guy with him in Sacramento to get in his head and tell him, hey, you know, knock it off. Mm-hmm. You know, now he has that guy that's, you know, play with him in plenty of times in the all-star games, play with him in the offseason for Team USA.
Guy he said he respects. Said he respects Anthony Davis as one of the best big men in the league. And I don't know if he didn't respect the guys in Sacramento, but he obviously felt like he needed help. He said he needed help. He wanted the superstar. He said he asked Anthony Davis to come join him in Sacramento. So,
yeah,
it's like those guys have a strong bond. So I think Anthony Davis could be that guy that, you know,
keeps
him in check.
Yeah, Davis could keep him. Yeah, he could keep him in check. But yeah, you're right. And Sacramento, he, you know, at the end of the day, game recognizes game. You know, if you see another guy putting up monster numbers, you know, that are higher than you, which Anthony Davis is doing, you know, you're like, all right, I gotta respect this guy a little bit. You know, like, and then when I was at the All-Star game, I actually asked Anthony Davis, you know, what does he think about DeMarcus? You know, and he was very high on him. He was just saying. He was just saying, you know, he's one of the best big men in the game. I love going against him, you know, because they had a game where I think it was like two or three days before All-Star weekend. So I kind of asked him about that, you know. I was like, do you love matching up with him? You know, is he one of your friends? Da da da. And he was like, yeah, no, he is, and you know, but turns out two days later he's a teammate of his. Yeah. It's just. You know, it's just going to be a thing that's going to have to be closely watched these next 20 games. It's, you know, it's definitely like an ongoing process in his mental. It's kind of, it's going to be how far does he want himself to go.
Yeah. And I think this is also like a big thing for DeMarcus. If it doesn't work out here and he still gets these technical fouls, because the big debate is, hey, is it the Kings or is it DeMarcus Cousins? Like who's responsible for, you know, the losing? And if DeMarcus Cousins is paired with another superstar, there's kind of no more excuses if it doesn't go right. I mean, New Orleans isn't like the most, you know, model organization itself, but that's two franchises where the same problem occurs. Then you have to start wondering, hey, maybe this is Boogie, and maybe this is DeMarcus. So it's just as big for him, like, to prove that, you know what, no, like, all that's about me was overblown. So It's going to be on him.
No, yeah, definitely. We're just gonna have to see what happens in these next 20 games. If you know there's gonna be a change, and you know I've said time and time again, if DeMarcus were to, you know, go play with LeBron, for instance, you know, LeBron wouldn't be having that.
No.
No, yeah, you like LeBron would have shut him up so quick. Yeah, he wouldn't have, you know, he wouldn't have time to think. And so, but Anthony Davis is still a young player too. So they kind of got to coexist with each other and just figure this thing out. Because it's gonna, if they obviously want to win a championship, and you know they have the potential to, if they get another player, you know they got to figure out their their mental situation, because that's like the biggest thing moving forward. Because if you're a playoff caliber team, they don't have those mishaps within the roster.
And it's interesting because they're very different personalities, like on the surface from watching. Like Anthony Davis,
They're fire and ice. That's your nickname right now, fire and ice.
Fire and ice. Like, and it really does fit. Like DeMarcus is very, very demonstrative, you know, his temperament, everyone knows what DeMarcus is. And then Anthony Davis is a pretty laid-back guy, and it'd be interesting to see, like, how their personalities actually mesh on the court and behind the scenes in New Orleans. Because they're always friends, and they seem like friends from afar, though. Because, you know, you go against each other, you only see each other a couple years. It's different when you're actually teammates and you're around that person. Like, and a guy like Anthony Davis, will he end up putting up with that? That's going to be interesting to watch. And especially with these last 20 games, New Orleans doesn't look like they're going to make playoffs. They're still trying to figure things out of how they're going to make this work. So if there's more losing, like, will tempers flare with losing, and how is that going to work out between them? It's going to be interesting to see.
Yep, it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen. But it's also going to be interesting to see what Buddy Hield brings to the table for Sacramento as well.
Yeah.
I'm actually high on him. He's one of my favorite players in college. You know, I love his game. I love his backstory. I don't know if you know his backstory about living in the Bahamas, and he has a strict mom, and you know, everyone on the 8 Mile Rock knew him.
He's awesome. He's a good guy, like a genuinely good dude.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah. He's you know, like Buddy's great. You know, that you get the polar opposite with Buddy Hield than having DeMarcus. I feel like that's one of the biggest pluses, that you know you get Buddy Hield. He's 23 years old, but he's a man. I feel like he has that respect for, you know, other people, because he had a situation that he had to go through that's different than almost anybody else in the NBA. And like if you don't know about his situation, you know, he was living, you know, day by day in the Bahamas. He had to shoot. He grew up playing basketball, shooting the ball into a milk carton. You know, he had to go sneak out at night to go shoot hoops and then run back to his house before his mom got home from work. You know, that's just the type of things that people in America don't have to deal with. And, you know, like if when you get a player like that, it's all around good thing. You know, all of his players respect him, all the fans respect him, and most importantly, the coaches respect you, and they hold you to a high standard. And then in Sacramento, I think Buddy's going to have a great career. He's going to have that, you know, I feel like he's going to be that 15 to 18 point guy game. And I feel like that's what his ceiling is. You know, he's not going to be the 25, you know, he might get up to 20 points a game, but you know, on any team that's competing for a championship, he's going to be that two guy or three guy. You know, I feel like he's not going to be that all-star, but if you, you know, build up a team through the draft, if you build up, you know, these first round picks that we have this year, and then you get a great pick, you know, you get a great couple of picks in the 2017 draft, you know, is that going to create like a lucrative enough of a market for actual right now occurring all-stars to want to come play with these new players? It's kind of the thing that Minnesota's done. Mm-hmm. You know, they got Andrew Wiggins, they got Karl Anthony Towns, Zach LaVine. They built through the draft. They've grown a rapport about them. If an all-star player were to go to Minnesota, you know, maybe some stuff can happen, especially playing with a good coach. He's there for 5 years too. So, you know, I'm just comparing him to that because that's actually what could happen. You know, Dave Yeager is a great coach. People forget that. He was with the Grizzlies for so long. He put him in the playoffs year after year. You know, he knows how to handle a roster. Everyone respects him. And that's what's different with this new Sacramento team, is that they're going to have to respect him. You know, there's no dark cloud hanging over the franchise anymore with DeMarcus, you know. And I just feel like with him leaving just opens up the opportunity for players to want to attract other players, and doing so in Buddy Hield.
And Buddy is a great character. Like, you already touched on it, and I think it's cool that you guys have him and Scal, who Scal has his own interesting story. I know that, like, that just shows like what they're trying to build in Sacramento. His character, move on from DeMarcus, and the attention that he brought, which is negative, because when it comes down to attracting free agents, though, I think it's going to come with those young guys winning, obviously, or showing progress. But now you're putting yourself in a position where, yeah, you can, or flip these guys, if flip these assets. You just have more flexibility with the plan going forward. And Buddy, as the player, he's going to get – in New Orleans, he wasn't – he's going to be used way differently than he is in Sacramento. I've already seen it. But New Orleans, his minutes were up and down. He would play – he would start, but he wouldn't really play starter minutes. And for a young guy, like, that can take a toll on you. But you always saw that he still had the shooting touch. He still had the work ethic. And no matter, like, whether he would put up 20 or he put up 5 one game, he was always positive. He always came with the mindset of, I'm going to get better. And it's just something like that spreads around, you know, like it's a positivity. It spreads throughout the locker room and makes other guys happy, wanting to play with your likable teammate, which is valuable in the NBA. Like, you being a guy that's good in the locker room, like, it makes you gravitate towards people. Other players gravitate towards that. And the fact that he could actually play is only even better. So, like you said, Buddy Hield's ceiling. The expectation being slacked on him because he was a part of the DeMarcus trade. Like, I think there's a quote, oh, he could be the next Steph Curry. Like that stuff is just ridiculous. But Buddy Hield's going to be a good player in his own right. It's like, as long as, like, you know, national people, like, from afar just, like, understand that, hey, like, it was more than just being Buddy Hield for DeMarcus. if it's Buddy Hield and changing what Sacramento's trying to do going forward with the culture. And Buddy Hield's still a useful player. He's a rookie. He's 23. He gets a lot of stack from being 23, but like as if he can't improve, right? Like yeah. He's still a rookie in the NBA. He can, but he's shown the ability to shoot. He has the confidence. He has the positivity. So it's going to be interesting to watch his career in Sacramento. And I'm happy that he's at a place where he's wanted. Because even I've written about Buddy Hield. I've covered him this season. And like most people, all New Orleans Pelicans fans, New Orleans writers will tell you, like, they want the guy to succeed. And I think he will. He's shown the talent. He's shown the potential. So it's going to be interesting what they're building in Sacramento.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's unfortunate that you guys don't have any more shooting anymore because because Galloway and Buddy Hield were the only two shooters that you guys actually have. Now you guys are stuck with Etuan Moore and, you know, Cunningham and Solomon Hill. So that leads me to this question: what are you guys going to be looking for in the offseason? Are you guys going to be looking for a wing, shooting guard? You know, you guys don't have any draft picks, so. You know, you don't have any high first rounders, so it's just going to be, you know, are you you guys are going to have to either make a trade right at the draft, or you guys are going to try to pick up, you know, some player in free agency that's going to try to, try to actually cope with DeMarcus and Anthony Davis. And there's a couple of them out there. There's a lot of restricted free agents, which I feel like the Pelicans have no choice but to try to, you know,
throw money
at they have no choice but to throw money at these guys and to try to get them there, because if they don't, then DeMarcus is obviously going to be out after the first year being with them. So, you know, just talk about a couple of these free agents that are going to be available.
Well, it's going to be tough to offer Max money, because ideally, like, a guy like Gordon Hayward would just be perfect. Like, he would fit in, like, right away, because he can play on the ball, Drew can play off the ball with Anthony Davis and DeMarcus, but unfortunately, it's going to be tough for them to offer Max money because of the mistakes that general manager Dell Demps has made already, such as you got Omer Sheik locked in on like a $12 million deal. You got Solomon Hill on a $12 million deal. You got Etuan Moore on like an $8 million deal. And like those guys are not going to be easy to move away. And you still got Ajinka actually on like a $5 million. And two of those guys are not even in the rotation. So now you have money tied into players that aren't participating at all. So the only thing you could really do is I would package up a 2018 pick with a guy like Etuan Moore. Hopefully you can get somebody like Orlando who's trying to rebuild. They signed Evan Fournier to a 5-year, $80 million deal. They may have some buyer's remorse, may want to move him. Try to go for a guy like that, a shooter. Or try to go maybe see a guy like Allen Crabbe in Portland. Or play, you know, players like that have got big contracts last offseason, and teams are kind of wanting to get rid of them. That's probably like the most realistic route. There's some guys that you hope maybe you can sign that were maybe unheralded. Maybe you spark their potential, James Young from Boston, or Joe Ingles from Utah.
Or Justin Holiday too, right?
Yeah, pair of the Holiday. Yeah, they've already expressed interest in playing with each other. I think it's likely Justin Holiday plays in New Orleans rather than Drew going to New York. It makes most sense on paper. And Justin Holiday, he's a good player too in his own right. So there's some options. No, I doubt that there's going to be like a big splash coming from New Orleans Pelicans as far as like a max level guy. But if you put the film on, and like New Orleans is creating open shots for guys like Solomon Hill, Dante Cunningham.
They just can't make them.
So if like, you're a shooter, you can make you some money playing in New Orleans. Like maybe sign like a 1 or 2 year deal there, get some open threes, and like now you've built your own value up as a player. So that's the guys that New Orleans is gonna have to look at, some shooters that really haven't got really a big break. A good player would be Avery Bradley, maybe JJ Redick, but then again you'd have to.
Yeah.
Strike gold or get creative with the cap due to your own mistakes that you've made. And that's the toughest thing, getting role players when you have so much money tied up already in bad contracts.
Yeah, that's just gonna have to be something that you know the Pelicans are just have to figure out when it comes to that time.
And the good one we had was Caspi. I thought Caspi was gonna fit in very nice, and he just got hurt and got released.
Yeah, got hurt first game. You know, yeah, Caspi was in that DeMarcus Cousins trade too.
Yeah,
and you know broke his thumb, right, or index finger.
Index finger.
Yeah, man. Broke his index finger in the first game. He came in, scored a quick 7 points. I think it was
7 points. I was like, this guy. He was a good fit too. He looked like he'd be a good fit. He'd spot him and shoot, and then of course, just
yeah. Caspi came in the game, scored 7 points, broke his index finger, and now he's already waived by the team. That's just how things are going down there in New Orleans right yeah. now. So. You know, me and Charles both obviously think that the Pelicans aren't going to catch up to the 8th seed, which, you know, it's very, very possible that's not going to happen. They're 5 games back right now. They're 24-38. And, you know, and the Kings are 25-36 right now, and they're both not going to make the 8th spot. So you know, that's, you know, it was obviously a win-win for both, for the Kings. I mean, it was a win for the Kings, obviously, because, you know, they obviously don't want the Pelicans to, you know, they don't think that the Pelicans, they thought the Pelicans weren't going to, you know, tank or be bad, you know, which I hope, I pray to God that the Pelicans don't lose out the whole remainder of the season, because if they...
That'd be such Kings luck if the Pelicans somehow, like, get the top three pick, throw-in lottery protection. That would just be ridiculous.
Yeah, because, you know, guys, that first pick... That first round pick, if you know the Pelicans fall into the lottery and that pick, you know, somehow gets, you know, very, very low in the top three, then that pick's going back to New Orleans, and you know the Kings are gonna be, you know, left, you know, with I mean, they're still gonna have their own first round pick. Hopefully, if that falls within the top 10, that's why they wanted to get rid of DeMarcus Cousins in the first place. But yeah, it's just gonna be something to look forward to this season. You know, if you're a Kings fan, you want the Pelicans to win. You know, if you like, you want them to win a little bit, but you want them to lose. You know, you want them to go 500 for the rest of the season, because you don't want them to fall into that, you know, bottom three, and you want their pick to be in the top 10. So, you know, so then the Kings right now, I feel like the Kings are just you know, they want their players to play good. They want the Kings fans to see that they actually have some potential moving forward. But at the end of the day, they want to tank. Of course they do, because if they don't, if they don't tank, and if their pick lands above 10, then their pick goes to the Philadelphia 76ers. So, you know, it was a great. That's why. That's another reason why it was a great trade. You get rid of DeMarcus, you have less of an opportunity to, you know, fall out of the top 10. So, you know, I actually give the DeMarcus Cousins grade, you know, like a B plus, you know, like an A minus, and yeah, so.
Interesting thing, a lot of people talk about the return that they got, like they could have gotten more, but in reality they couldn't have gotten, if there was a better offer, like he would have taken it. There was not many teams vying for DeMarcus Cousins, just the Lakers, and I think all they offered was Brandon Ingram, which, I mean, you could debate on which is better, but I mean, that's like one another team, and the Lakers ultimately pulled out of that deal, and I've seen people bring up, oh, what about Boston? Boston had no interest in going after DeMarcus. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to grade them on what they got back, because there wasn't really a big market. And Vlade tried to trade him in the summer and didn't get the right haul back. So he had no other choice but to take the Pelicans' offer. And I think the Pelicans also had no other choice but to take DeMarcus, because if they're not going to go through the draft, this was their only way of getting a top talent. And then now you have to try to. That's why I still think I want the Pelicans to win, even though we have like a chance of getting a top three pick. I'd rather them go for wins as well to try to make New Orleans an attractive spot to free. They come play with DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis. Like we're actually trying to build something here. We're trying to build something special. Exactly. So that's why I really think this is one of those trades that both teams got what they wanted. New Orleans got their star to get next to Davis, and Sacramento got. They got the chance to rebuild and start fresh. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you know, there you guys have it. You got to see the perspective from a New Orleans Pelicans writer's view, and you know, I've been adamant that this is a great trade. You know, they have young pieces to move forward in the Pelicans. I wish you guys the best of luck.
Yeah,
So
and
you know,
take care of buddy. Take care of Buddy Hield in Sacramento. He's a good player, good guy.
Yeah, we just need to put some good guys around him or draft correctly, which we haven't really done, you know, in the past. So you know what, Charles? Thanks for stopping by the Vietes Rundown. You guys can catch all of his work on Fansided. It's the Pelicans debrief. He's actually going to write an article tonight about how Cousins is fitting in. So if you guys want to go check that out, you're more than welcome to. I'll have his at name in the description. And so, you know, thank you guys for tuning in again. It's kind of a long episode, but I appreciate all the listens. I appreciate all the subscriptions. Please just keep doing so. And I'm Manny Vietes. Thanks for hanging out with me for the night or whenever you guys are listening to this. Have a nice day. Peace.